请勿靠近车门。
请不要靠近车门。
Please stand back from the doors.
Hello, listeners, viewers, and supporters of What Kind of Asian Are You podcast. I am your host, Kyle. If you are a new listener,Thank you for tuning in for the very first time. We are a podcast that features diaspora Asians and their stories. We look to highlight, amplify, and validate Asian voices worldwide. We hope you will find the podcast entertaining, interesting, and inspiring. Now that we got the introduction out of the way, I want to talk about a few things, mainly in regards to updates in my personal life, the podcast, and the future of the podcast, and an introduction to a clip from an episode of another podcast that I did earlier that I hope you would go check out.So first things first, for those that have been keeping up with the podcast, thank you so much. That means a lot. And you have been keeping up, you will have noticed that new episode releases and social media updates have been very inconsistent and infrequent for the last 2 months or so. In regards to that, I am very sorry for the first and foremost. The reason for the lack of episodes and inactivity of the podcast have been due to some big changes that have been happening in my personal life. First, if you didn't know, I lived in Singapore with my wife since late 2020. That was when I started the podcast and have been doing it consistently till now. However, we made a big change in our life at the end of September 2021 by moving back to Canada, where I spent most of my life. So since the end of September 2021, most of my time has been dedicated to resettling in Canada and helping my wife transition her life to Canada as she lived in Asia her whole life. In addition to that, I'm currently working multiple jobs that are taking quite a bit of my time, and my wife and I are expecting a baby that is due in a few months. As a result, podcasting is put on the back burner. As much as I really enjoyed the podcasting journey and am hoping to make podcasting a bigger thing in my life, my relationship with my wife and my livelihood still comes first. So this is just an update on my personal life and the reason for the podcast being so inactive as of late. However, this does not mean the podcast is ending. I'm just taking it easy with podcasting for now to get my personal life sorted and figure out how to incorporate podcasting into it without affecting the other important parts of my personal life. Now, as for the future of the podcast, I'm looking to release 8 more episodes for season 3 before the baby is due in early February. When the baby is born, I'll be taking a few months off before coming back for season 4. I look to continue to tell Asian stories and reach out to more cool people to interview and learn from. I'll be looking to get the podcast even bigger, to get bigger guests and start monetizing with your help. At the end of the day, I look to make podcasting my career in some sort of way, whether full-time or a side hustle. I hope if you really like the podcast, you will support this by just listening and sharing it with friends and family. This is it with the updates, and now to introduce you to an episode of another podcast that I guest co-hosted on recently. I was honored to be able to have appeared on an episode of Don't Be Strangers, a podcast and social experiment for learning to create meaningful connections together via collaborative conversation hosted by Xin Yi. It was an episode where we asked each other 5 questions that formed the conversation in a podcast episode that I really enjoyed doing, as the conversation was really deep and insightful, definitely worth checking out. If you want to learn more about me and also to check out another podcast that is doing really cool things, this is it. And I thank you for listening and continuing to support this podcast and my podcast journey. I hope you will continue to do so as we head into 2022. I hope to get to know more of you and connect with y'all. So follow the podcast on Instagram at What Kind of Asian Pod. Keep listening to the episodes and share it with your friends and family. And now to a clip of Don't Be Strangers episode that I guest co-hosted with Xin Yi. Make sure to check out the podcast and listen to the full episode on Don't Be Strangers feed. Till next time, bye.
Hi, I can't believe that we're already at episode 10 of Don't Be Strangers. I'm Xin Yi, and I started this series of collaborative conversations to learn from friends and strangers alike for how to create agency in your life and deepen your connections with everyone you meet. Before we jump into the meat of the topic, I want to remind you that early signups for the Pen Pal Club community that I'm trying to create is still open, and you can find the link to sign up on the Instagram page at Don't Be Strangers. I'm extremely stoked for this community because it'll allow the listeners you to directly connect with past co-hosts as well as with each other. Each month, you'll be sent a prompt inspired by questions from the podcast, which you will answer and send to someone else within the club. This club is a whole community experience because instead of mutual one-on-one pairings, everyone will be ordered in a circle, so you'll feel part of the bigger whole. Who you send to will be different from who you will receive from. Every month, get connected to two new friends, and because I'm providing the prompt which you know you already find interesting because you listen to this podcast, you can skip the small talk and dive straight into the deep stuff. Again, if I've piqued your interest, you can find the details for signing up on the @DontBeStrangers Instagram page. With that out of the way, today I'm chatting with a fellow podcaster named Kyle, who runs What Kind of Asian Podcast, a podcast series dedicated to exploring and telling the stories of the Asian diaspora. He's been running his passion project for over a year with 50 episodes out. I am so honored that he lended me some of his time so that we can bring you this episode. Through a single conversation with Kyle, my first impressions of him are that he's extremely thoughtful, expressed in both the way he asks questions as well as the way he perceives his introspectiveness. Highlights of this conversation includes 1, activities that we do that makes us feel most authentically ourselves, 2, the inner world of an introvert, 3, my happiest memories with my family, 4, Kyle's strategy for making big decisions in life without over-worrying, and 5, the real reason behind his decision to move to Toronto. So this is Kyle.
All right. First off, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to do so. Very grateful for this opportunity. So again, my name is Kyle and I am Asian Canadian, meaning that I was born in Hong Kong and then immigrated to Canada with my family when I was around 4, turning 5. And I've been there since for most part of my life. I had my education there and I live pretty much regular, like, childhood, had a normal upbringing. And after university, which I went to for business in general, in a specialization of hotel and food administration. I worked for a bit before I embarked on my own little kind of adventure slash kind of experience of moving to Asia, where I taught English. So I taught English in Taiwan for 3 years and then ended up moving to Singapore for close to a year now, where I live with my wife, who's a Singaporean. So that's why I moved in the first place. And I also teach English here for now. The reason that I was involved in this project was just because of the nature of I was in Asian Creative Network. And also I have a podcast called What Kind of Asian Are You podcast, where I interview diaspora Asians about their life experiences and the stories. I want to highlight, amplify, and validate their voices. And I've been having a lot of fun doing that. And I look to continue to do it.
Dude, you have had like the most comprehensive introduction, I think, of like, I mean, this is probably recording number 9, but still, like, everyone else is just like, oh, this is my name and this is like kind of what I do. But as you were going, I was thinking to myself, he came prepared with an introduction. I kind of think it indicates the fact that you have your own podcast, that you're used to like speaking and having thought through things.
All my questions I have in mind goes along with the theme of this podcast, which is, you know, how do we get from being a stranger to not being a stranger? So these questions are what I think would help get us to becoming less of a stranger, even though we haven't met real life yet. But the first question would be, what is one activity that you would do that makes you feel like you are the most authentic you when you're doing it?
I really love this question, especially because of like the emphasis on authenticity. Oh my gosh, I can't speak. On the authentic self. This was like a no-brainer for me. It is definitely anything in the creative field, although out of all of the mediums that I dabble with, I would say that probably photography is my favorite, both being behind the camera and in front of the camera. And I think it has come to this, even though when I was much younger, I involved myself more in like illustration and like specifically digital illustration. That was like my primary medium. I think it transitioned to photography and like slash modeling because the nature of my job currently, because I'm a web developer, involves a lot of sitting and like looking at my screen. If you can imagine, like digital illustration is a lot more of that, right? So after work, I don't want to like get off of work and then like sit more and then look at more screens. So photography is great. light because it gets you to like move your body. And then depending on the type of photography, it's also collaborative. And I am huge on collaboration and like just learning from others. I think the other thing about photography that makes it really fun is I kind of think of it as like fake acting, because you don't have to memorize any lines. Like, so you don't have to go through the process of like, you know, practicing for that. You just dress up and then you show up, and then you just work with, you know, another creative to create scenes. And a lot of it to me is just play. It's like, what props do we have in the area, or do we bring props? What is the lighting like? Let's try this, let's try that. I think that's definitely the activity that makes me feel the most childish, almost to a certain degree, but without being like immature. It's just that playfulness. Yeah.
That's really interesting in how you word it and like explain it. I don't really think you should say you just show up for it, because I think there's a lot that comes into like being in a seat of being taken picture of or taking the picture. Like, you are in front of the camera, then you have to be cognizant of body language and how you express your emotions without saying anything, all those stuff. I think you're underselling it a bit, but I get what you mean, but I guess a follow-up question would also be, why do you feel like being childish is the most real for yourself?
There is like a motto that I kind of live by, which is called big kid energy. It is the renaissance of childhood. I feel like being able to embody the energy and spirit of childhood is authentic, because it's the time in your life before you become molded into society. Other people's expectations of you, etc., etc., like at that point in time is like when you lived more independently, maybe not completely independently of all these thoughts, but it's before all of those thoughts have been like set upon you. I think that's why. But it makes me wonder, if I may turn the question around on you, what activities make you feel like the most, your most authentic self?
I think when I thought of this question for you, I didn't really give myself like time to think about, oh, what would my answer be? Because I didn't realize, oh, I would be asked back. But if I were to give an answer for that, I think it would be just listening to people and their stories. Because I think for myself, we will talk about this later, but I'm more of an introverted person, in my opinion, where I enjoy just not being the center of the attention. I enjoy hearing other people's thoughts and feelings and stories to kind of shape what I feel and think about in terms of the world. So it's always, for me, it's always the best to be able to hear people's stories and like learn from them and just, you know, be like the ear for them. Like, I don't really feel like I share myself as much as I should, or like people expect me to, in a sense. In terms of my personal relationships, I'm always the one where like, oh yeah, it seems like you're not shy to talk, but at the same time you don't give out much in terms of the energy and also like your personal like feelings and like how you think about the world, unless I'm prompted to. At least my wife have caught on where it's like, unless people ask me things, I don't really give out information. Like, there are things and stuff where like, oh, have you told this person about this thing or that? And I'm like, no. And then it's like, oh, is it because they didn't ask? And it's like, well, yeah. So there could be instances where people might not know anything about what's happening in my life, unless it's like, oh, they ask, how are you doing? And I'm not the one to be like, oh, I have a news or announcement to make, and here it is. Because I think that is hard for me for some reason. I don't know how to kind of deliver news or like milestones or anything like that.
That is super interesting. And I find that very relatable, because I feel the same. And that makes me wonder. I remember like consciously thinking about exactly that, like what you experience, because I feel like I default to just listening to people, and I enjoy also listening to people and asking questions, to the point where like if my conversation partner somehow manages to get me to talk more than them, I start to feel really weird, like in the middle of me like sharing information because they asked. I start to think, oh, this feels really awkward. Like, how did they manage to get me to talk so much? Like, and then I started to think, okay, like, what's a question I can like ask them, so I can kind of like turn the tables and make it feel less awkward for me. But because I felt like in college, I ended up receiving a lot of my friends' like stories and stuff and just being that ear for them. A lot of people felt a lot closer to me than I did to them because everyone was being vulnerable with me, but I wasn't vulnerable with anyone. Now I'm curious if you've experienced this where people have shared things with you where you're thinking, whoa, like, but you don't know anything about me.
I feel like I do have those kind of relationships, but doesn't happen that as much as I think you would think it would happen. Because I just think for me, the other thing about me is that I don't really make that many friends to start with, or I feel like I don't put out that kind of energy that, oh, I need as many friends as possible or anything like that. Or if I do, it's like, oh, there's a close X amount of people that, you know, I share information with, and like I ask them about how their life is doing. Like the other part is like I don't really seek out that much information as well, only when I feel like I want to. Like I don't want to be like it's a chore to ask them, oh, how they're doing. Like I don't like the whole like catching up kind of idea where like I think when it happens, it happens. I don't want to force it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I guess that aligns pretty well with you self-identifying as an introvert, which I did not expect you to be an introvert, considering that you run a podcast where you like seek out guests and like have conversations.
Even my wife, I asked her about this question, like, oh, am I an introvert or anything like that? And she's like, no, I don't think you're an introvert because you're able to really converse well in your like conversation with people, even strangers. So it's like, but then for me, I find myself in a situation where it's like dealing with people or like having the expectation of like interacting with people, giving them the proper kind of responses is a lot more tiring than it should be, especially if it like, it's a long-term commitment kind of thing where it's not just like, oh, in the 10 minutes, 20 minutes or something like that. If it's where we have to be in the same place, then it's a lot for me. Like I do a lot better, I feel, when it's like online or when I have time to like text. I'm more of a text person than actually calling someone, that kind of thing.
That makes sense. And also, I guess, like with text, it allows you the freedom to, because it's like an asynchronous form of communication. So it gives you the freedom to be like, I don't want to continue this conversation right now, so maybe I'll reply like tomorrow or something. This transitions perfectly into the question that I wanted to ask you. To further expand on this topic, one, with the guests that you seek out and like have these meaningful conversations with for your podcast, as an introvert, do you ever like maintain conversation post episode, or do you just like publish and then it's like, because you are an introvert, so it would be more energy to maintain that as opposed to like just seeking out new guests? Does this question even make sense?
That makes sense. I get what you're saying. And to respond to your question, I think under normal circumstances, I would just one and done, where, you know, we had that conversation, I published it, that's it. But I think the other side of my kind of attempt in this kind of podcasting kind of space would be to help other Asians, help, you know, people that are doing really interesting things, to spread their like, you know, ideas, their thoughts and their products or their art out. And having to help do that, to facilitate that, I need to be in contact with them to like, say, oh, what's up? How is it going? That kind of networking, like before, I'm horrible at that. And I'm still bad in like my personal life of like keeping up and all that stuff. But then with this podcast, it made me be like, oh yeah, I'm going to keep up with them, see how they're doing. And if they're doing something great, I'll congratulate them. And then it's like, if there's something worth sharing, I'll share it for them, like support them. Cause I think my podcast, not only do I want interesting conversation, but I want to use it as a platform for other people to come on and share their things to help them like reach a bigger audience in however way I can. Also support Asian artists or Asian creatives as well. That's kind of one of the biggest reasons why I want to start my podcast, because I want to be part of the platform or the person to help other people like get where they want to get to. Like, I don't care to be the center of attention, but I want other people who does want that center of attention to get the attention that they need.
That's such a noble mission. I really appreciate what you do with your platform.
The next question I have is be like, what is the happiest memory that you had with your friends, family?
So I didn't think of like a specific instance or example. Actually, maybe I can share one, but I feel like it's so stupid. So the thing is, I can instantly recall like multiple times where I've had extremely happy moments with my sister. She's 4 years younger than me. We're super tight. And I actually have an episode recording released with her. Like, it's number 3. And most of it was just her lecturing me on astrology and then her sharing like her weird dreams that she always tells me when she wakes up. I guess what makes them so happy is that our conversations are so spontaneous and very silly to a point where it feels sort of like an escapism from reality. I guess sort of similar to like the photography thing that I was saying earlier, where it's just like, oh, when I participate, I feel like I get to participate in like acting. Essentially, talking with her because she herself pursue a lot of fictional stories as her part of her hobbies. So like video games, animes, etc., etc. Her imagination and the things that she tells me about are like centered around these like fictional worlds or whatever, or yeah, constructs. And so there's like an amount of like silliness to it. I'll out her. Like, for example, she had like a Yu-Gi-Oh phase pretty recently in time, like within the past like year or two. And so she told me about the plot line for them, and the way that she recounts stories is very comedic. Like, I've always told her that she should do stand-up comedy or something because I find her type of humor just on point. But she says that I just have a weird sense of humor and only I find her funny. So I like roll my eyes. I'm like, sure, no, I'm sure lots of people would find you funny. But yeah, it's moments like those where it's just like, it comes out of nowhere. It's kind of like surprising. You're just doing your own business. You're just minding your own business. And then she comes in and she'll just randomly be like, boogie, woogie, woogie. And you're like, what? And then you're like, okay. Or like, I think those moments is just like, it's really precious, I would say. And that's what I appreciate. The other type of moments that I find very heartwarming, moments I spend with my husband that we're just like in silence and just like walking and we're just like enjoying nature, golden hour, stuff like that. It's like a very peaceful type of calm, like a very meditative type of happiness. So.
That's great. And it seems like the happiness you get is just like not plan is all like just really spontaneous, and like it can happen in any way. There's no specific catalyst for it. It just it could be anything. Like, so it's easy to attain that happiness regardless how high or how low it may be, because I think a lot of people have a certain expectation of what makes me happy, and sometimes you might not meet those kind of criterias, but then doesn't mean it shouldn't be a happy thing.
Yeah, good point. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger sister who's 7 years younger than me.
Are you close at all or not at all because of the age gap?
I would say not close at all, but I think it has less to do with the age gap. I think, of course, there's some influence from that, but I think a lot more is just how I am in terms of getting close to people, or like my inability to get close to many people for the most part. Like, it takes a lot for me to be like, yeah, I'll get close to someone, or like become like, oh yeah, that person I'm really close with. Like, I like to say I don't have any best friends, even though my wife would say, oh, but then there's so many, or like I have a group of friends that I talk to a lot or anything like that, that they should be your best friends. But no, I don't think so.
So I don't suppose you've ever experienced like meeting someone and thinking, I want to become close with this person. Have you? Or has it always been like serendipitous? Like, you didn't plan it, but then all the people you ended up being close with just...
I would think that's the case. And I think with my life, how things have turned out, with whatever I decide to do, a lot of things just happen just because. Like, a lot of things probably were planned, but like it wasn't something where it is especially planned. Like, oh, I have this guy of like, oh, I have to do X, Y, and Z by then. And that's the plan. I think a lot of things just happen to end up on my lap. either because of the fact of what I've done in the past, but it's not really a plan per se. Like for me, I think a plan would be where like, oh, I want to do this. I'll have these steps and I follow through, that kind of thing. I think I really am a believer. It's like you just have to let things happen. And when it happens, it happens. And like, of course you should like be responsible and like plan things out that you need to do that are like important, but like you shouldn't put that much emphasis of like, oh, I need to have a plan, I need to follow through and all that stuff, because I think that's a lot of pressure, because sometimes things are beyond your control. And I'm a big believer, is like, no, regardless how well you plan, there's always things that could happen in the future that could ruin your plans. And but at that point, you just have to keep going at what you're doing or change your path. And I always like to say, like, when people are asking, like, how do you like decide what you want to do? And my question is like, are you willing to like take a leap of faith? And if you are, you just have to make the best choice based on what you know at that point. You can't keep thinking like, oh, but there's so many unknown variables, because then you'll never make a choice, because you're always going to be like, I don't know what's going to happen, so I can't make a choice yet. But if you need to make a choice that will affect your life, you should just use what you have available at hand, because that would be the best option you have at that point. And when you make that choice, then you can't really regret it, because that's all you know at that point.
I really like your point of view on this, because as you were speaking, it initially sounded like a pessimistic response. You mentioned something along the lines of like, well, no matter how well you plan, like things will never work as you plan. But ultimately, I think it's a intrinsically very like optimistic response. That's just like kind of also hints you have enough information, or like you don't have all the information to make like a certain decision. But like, what's wrong with making a decision based off of the information you have? Given your outlook on like planning things, not planning things, etc., how did you make that transition then to teaching in Taiwan for 3 years? Because like, okay, it sounds like an opportunity must have fallen in your lap, but what exactly were you doing before again? Remind me. And then like, how did that transition happen?